Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman. And you listen to Redskins Talk with JP Finley.
Well, we're here. JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. The Redskins just lost a really dispiriting game to the Dallas Cowboys, 33-19, on their home field in the pouring rain. It was very cold and ugly and terrible. We got a lot to discuss. I am here with my dude, Rich Tandler. Tandler, say what's up, man.
What's up?
Local celebrity Mitch Tischler is here. Mitchell,
what's up?
Setting the scene real quick. Usually we're out on the field to record the post-game Redskins talk. We're not out on the field because it's pouring and freezing. We are in a legitimate, I had no idea this room existed. Tandler, you ever been in this room?
I've been coming to the stadium for 20 years in the press area.
I got no idea where we are. This is a, Tischler pulled something out of a hat to find this room. It's nice. It's got, there's water and soda and vegetarian wraps. Tischler, where the hell are we?
You always say I know where the bodies are buried. This is where the bodies are buried.
It's pleasant. Whatever room we're in is pleasant. What was not pleasant was the Redskins lost to the Cowboys, dropping them to 0-3 in the division. A lot for us to get to. We got reactions to the game. We got to talk about all the injuries. Game balls and goats. I don't know how many game balls are going out. Over-unders. All right, let's get to this damn ball game. Tandler, give me your give me your instant reaction to the game.
My instant reaction is it was a game where they needed to be perfect to win, and they were far from it. Starting before the blocked field goal, they left a red zone. They got it recovered.
The first damn play of the game.
On the first play of the game, couldn't punch it into the end zone.
They didn't even get a first down.
No, they were three and out.
They never threw the ball.
You know what? That reminded me of the preseason.
It did.
They constantly got turnovers.
Did the ball get to the first down marker? Was it even thrown that far?
No,
I don't think it was. Okay.
Yeah.
I think they passed twice, ran
so
once.
Was that. But then you start with a major one. It's the blocked field goal.
Killer.
It was a killer. The two fumbles in the third quarter that led to Cowboys field goals. I mean, they just did too much rock drop passes.
Well, the fumble was right away, too.
That was on their first drive.
Right.
And then the ensuing kickoff. So it just wasn't – they just had to play pretty much mistake-free to win. They didn't come close.
Mitchell?
Who knows? In a history of bad weather, bad losses for the Redskins, you have the Chiefs 45-0 loss, you have the last game of the Shanahan era in the rain and freezing cold up in New York. This was this one definitely ranks up there. I mean, this was a bad game, bad weather, bad.
But it was winnable. I feel like that's what makes it so much worse.
It does make it worse. As bad, as injured as they are, and as bad as they played, as many turnovers and not capitalizing on anything, they had a chance to win and did what they've done, what you said, three times already this year? Throw a pick at the end of the game. And
yep.
I mean, it's a killer.
It is. It's a killer. And you know, we do the smile meter, and we'll do it at the end of the podcast. And I try to preach patience and understanding games in the context of a 16-game season, but this one seems like a bad one, man. You know, it's tough to walk away from this one like, oh, everything's still cool. They got a chance here, a chance there, because they're going to Seattle next week. That looks like a buzzsaw waiting to happen. And this is going to get into our next point that we've just got to discuss, and it's all the injuries. I was running around doing postgame. I didn't get to listen to Gruden. The one thing I saw was Matt Ioannidis left the stadium with a cast on his left hand.
Yeah, it's broken.
Is it?
Gruden
right,
is
you give
not,
me the injury
yeah,
rundown.
Gruden is not sure if he can play on it. TJ Clemmings left the game. You know, not sure about him. Ended up with Tyler Catalina playing left tackle. Jordan Reed left the game with a hamstring fairly early on. Niles Paul with a concussion. So, Gruden said they had a bunch of 2 and 3 tight end sets.
That was the only way
help,
they were going
to
run
help,
the ball.
You're right, to help try to run the ball, and that was wiped
Sean
out.
Sean LaValle left with the shoulder,
right?
The stinger or whatever.
When you're, and LaValle didn't look good leaving the – and when your O-line's already decimated to lose LaValle, I mean, this thing is – the wheels are kind of falling off, at least on that offensive line. And were you there for Trent in postgame, Mitch?
Yeah, we were talking to Trent postgame, and he basically said that talking with the doctors that they were worried that if he played on it, it could require – it could force him to have a surgery, which he said scared the S out of him.
You can say shit, dude.
You can say shit? Okay. Scared the shit out of him, which, you know, I get. Like, I wouldn't want to have surgery either. But, I mean, if he's at a tipping point where he's, you know, one play or one game away from having surgery, I don't know what does 1 week do or 2 weeks or three weeks.
I mean, rest can help. I mean, you can – you know,
well,
you can
at
least reduce the pain and you can play through it.
Right.
And
we've known he's had to have surgery. You know, like that's not news. So, and the idea was, all right, if you can get 2 weeks rest. I think for Trent, it's also a reactionary. Like, oh, man, I'm scared of surgery. Our team got killed. They need me out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if he's not playing in Seattle. I mean, I know that the
unless
team.
Unless Insecki looked like he was making some strides. I mean, we saw him in practice wearing his jersey. I mean, he's still working to the side of trainers, but if Insecki comes back, I don't think Trent's pushing it quite like he would be otherwise.
This thought has been rolling around in my head all week. You've heard of the old, for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost.
No.
Okay.
Never heard
that. But it means a little
Mitch,
thing.
No.
I wish they could see Mitch's face. What the hell does
the
that mean?
The point is, a little thing can have snowball effects that turn into
butterfly effect.
Losing a battle. Okay, whatever. No, not when you're talking.
Who are you
football.
Calling a snowflake, dude?
War.
By the way, if you would have just said snowball effect, that's a lot more concise than
okay.
Nail and shoe and horse and hammer.
Okay.
What are we talking
Let's
about?
Let's get to this. Okay, Let me get to my point. Okay, Sean LaValle's face mask has caused the Redskins a world of hurt.
Oh boy!
Because
deep cuts
it was in that. It was in the Raiders game.
And that's
where
when
his face mask
came
got
in?
Knocked off. Okay. Ty Insecki had to come in for one play. He was not really warmed up. That's when
he
suffered
hurt.
The quorum wrestle injury. And then Trent Williams gets hurt. He doesn't have an adequate substitute. He has to play on it. And things start to go downhill.
Damn.
So it's.
As bad as your analogy was, whatever that horse nail thing was, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
And that shows you how fragile. We talk about this all the time. We operate on razor-thin margins trying to cover an NFL team, right? Where we're pulled a million directions, you know, lots of things. These players, I mean, these games, this stuff is happening with the tiniest little change. Like, he came out from one snap because his face mask got ripped off. Do you apologize to Taylor now?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
I wasn't expecting it.
It was still a convoluted.
It's like a saying. It's a thing.
That
he has paid any attention
not
in,
a saying.
In school. It is.
Anyway, so according to Tandler, I guess Redskins fans need to point their ire at Riddell or whoever the helmet company
that,
is.
Whatever guy ripped his helmet off.
Yeah, but I mean, how many times have you seen a helmet fail? Well, I guess now twice in 3 weeks after Flacco's helmet broke in half. But I mean, how often do you see a face mask come off?
That's
point
Taylor. Well done. All right. I don't know what we can say or do about the injuries. I mean, they're mounting. I don't think it's worth going through the injury report right now, late Sunday night, when we're going to know a lot more tomorrow when Jay Gruden talks. And I think in our Wednesday podcast, we'll really try to get – yo, how about Breland being inactive, though? That was a surprise. That forced Dunbar on the field a lot. Quentin Dunbar has played well for two straight games. I'm not sure he played well today.
Well, I mean, the Cowboys, I mean,
the Cowboys
Prescott
didn't
had 143 yards passing. Dez Bryant, 4 for 39. Williams,
he had that big one
2 for 36.
Down.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, well, the Cowboys had a short field all day and ran the ball more or less at will.
150 for Elliott.
I don't think anything in the passing game. We'll get to game balls and goats, but I don't know how much of the passing game gets a goat here because they didn't have to.
Yeah, right,
let's
they get just to it. They got shit stuff handed to them.
Whoa, even Taylor's dropping S bombs.
Yeah, that's how you know it was a bad game.
All right, let's get to game balls and goats. I'm going first because I called dibs and Mitch didn't steal the mic from me yet. Game ball, Jamison Crowder. First Redskins receiver to go over 100 yards on the season. They needed a big game from him, and he delivered. And I think Crowder was good. Crowder was the player we've expected. I don't think I'm getting any pushback on that one, right?
No.
All right, Mitchell.
Game ball, Brian Kerrigan, 2 sacks. Pressure multiple times. I actually thought he did a good job of keeping Dak in the pocket a couple times. He, instead of rushing hard around the outside, kind of dipped in and kept Dak from escaping and having a couple of those quarterback runs that we've seen the guys do over the years or over the weeks. So, Kerrigan.
Yeah, that's...
All right, Chandler, you got one?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to divide it four ways.
Dude.
With...
I'm not sure you're allowed to do that.
With T.J. Clemmings, Eric Quanjo for a half, Tyler Catalina, and Chase Ruhier. I mean, considering... what they came in, the circumstances they were facing. I believe the only penalty on the offensive line was a false start on Morgan Moses. You know, they didn't blow people away, but I thought that they held up pretty well. Yes, there were a lot of sacks. They couldn't really run the ball, but I thought they held up pretty well.
You know what? Kirk had some time to throw in spots. In spots he didn't, but that happens all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They had 4 sacks. In their opener with the full strength offensive
line. Right. So you're not saying everybody gets a ball. You're saying one ball divided by the four of them?
Yeah.
A quarter of a game ball?
I don't want to be that generous.
I think Chris Thompson, maybe? Am I up again?
Yeah, that fumble on the kickoff.
Yeah, fumble.
He's been real good, and, you know, he was...
The bar is now high for a Chris Thompson game.
The bar is much higher for him. I don't think he gets a ball this time.
Does anybody else get one? Are we forgetting anybody?
Let me
I feel like DJ Swearinger played well.
I was thinking that also.
I also felt like Zach Brown did a real good job on Jason Witten. I don't know if it was...
Witten had to have had a couple
catches.
Yeah, he had four for 35 yards.
But Witten also has zero speed at this point.
That's true. All right, fine. I mean, he had a couple pass breakups. He almost had a pick down in the red zone.
He had a dumb penalty.
He had a dumb penalty.
I don't think he's quite game ball, but
yeah,
he played all right.
Serviceable. He's definitely not a goat.
Definitely not. I think... the combination of Compton and Spate played pretty well without Mason out there. Not game ball territory, but they played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, in a game that was as bad as this was, we're stretching.
I was about
for
to say,
there's
plenty of actual goats here. Why don't we move?
One cool move. This is not a game ball situation. Before we get to goats, Rob Kelly after his touchdown, giving the ball to Morgan Moses to spike it was kind of cool.
It was real cool. It's a shame that 84 was down with a concussion, and they didn't see it. But
they didn't see it.
It was a nice moment.
Goats.
Goat. I'm going first. Josh Doctson.
Oof. Yes.
Still a game. You know, mostly invisible. Okay. Finally gets open. A catchable ball. Not a perfect ball by Kirk. A catchable ball. I believe it's a 7-point game at that time.
Yep.
A catchable ball and.
Wouldn't have been a TD, but it was
it would have been a key first down.
Right.
They were going three and out, and that, you know, the defense was getting tired, and they needed the offense to hold on to the ball, flip some field position, and Doctson, it was a 3rd and 8, I think, and he got open down the sideline, down the left sideline, and the ball just kind of, it's like he had to come back for it, turn back, but not a difficult catch by any means, went right through there, just not good.
That pass was a duck. Not that it didn't still land in the breadbasket and he should have caught it, but that was a flailing duck.
Well, that gets to the next goat. And this may be a debate goat. I don't know here. I really don't know on this one. Was Kirk Cousins a goat today? Give me the stats, Taylor.
26 of 39, 263, 1-1, 86.3 rating. No, excuse me, 83.6 rating.
So... yardage one more time?
263.
Eesh.
39 passes.
I'm with you. I think he's a goat, unfortunately. I mean,
I don't think he played well. I know the conditions were terrible, but here's my thing, and I said this in pregame. I was actually talking with some other media folks about this down on the sideline before the game. The only way the Redskins win this thing is with a monster game from Kirk Cousins. You know the O-line's beat up. You know you're not going to run the ball well. You need your quarterback to come out and deliver. And I don't think he did that.
No, and he had the fumble. But, you know, he had a fumble that set up a field goal. Now, that was kind of an unavoidable blindside kind of thing.
Yep. But he's had – how many fumbles does he have this year?
But, you know, he didn't block the field goal. He didn't cause the field goal to be blocked.
Right.
He didn't fumble the
ball.
And
that was ultimately the margin.
Seconds later.
Right.
You know, so – but, yes, in terms of him not – you know, I mean, not to keep dropping that – throwing that paycheck around, but a $24 million quarterback has got to be able to lift his team.
We also talked about the weather a little bit. He proved last year – I think it was that Packers game right after the bye.
Right.
And he can throw the ball through wind and through bad rain, bad weather.
Jay said that this week, that he's a good bad weather quarterback or whatever.
He drives the ball well and he holds on to the ball well. He doesn't fumble. He got however many sacks it was tonight.
But you know what they had in that Packers game? A running game.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I'm saying I think you throw the weather out the window. That's not the excuse for today.
He had back-to-back balls that could have been picked. Neither of them were. We saw the same thing last week against the Niners. He had back-to-back balls that could have been picked.
2 weeks ago.
Well, who the hell was last week?
Philly. Eagles.
Where he had a pick. And then he ended the game with a pick. And I know the ball was tipped. I don't know that Kirk's a goat in this, but he didn't play. They needed, you know, in gymnastics, this is going to be a hell of an analogy. Stay with me.
For want of a nail.
Nobody knows what that means. People are going to know what I'm talking about. In gymnastics, right? Like the last woman on the team comes up and it's like, all right, if you get a 9.6 or higher, you win the gold medal. Remember the really small girl, Carrie Strug, when she stuck the landing? It's like, all right, if you do really well, you guys are going to win. Coming into this game, Kirk knew, had to know, we need you to go out there and kill it. And that's our only chance of winning. And I don't think he came out and killed it. Now, is that all on him? No, he's playing behind a ramshackle offensive line, but he didn't come out and kill it.
You also mentioned it quickly or in postgame, but to get the ball back with a minute left with a chance to tie the game, and the first play out of the gate is the lobbed bubble screen to Jamison Crowder. You gotta.
That lost them 20 seconds. That went from 51 to 37. Maybe my math's off. Maybe that's 14. But it was a bad. There's got to be urgency. I know that people will point to their success in scoring in the drive before that. They do not go down the field. And if we've seen anything in these last two Cowboys matchups, certainly last year on Thanksgiving too, the Cowboys are happy to let Kirk take his little chunks, work it down the field, and eat up time. I mean, we've seen this now two games in a row, and it's happened.
Right. I will say the first goat was Josh Doctson. If Josh makes that catch down the sideline, if
Ryan Grant had a bad drop too.
Yeah, if these guys make those catches, maybe Kirk's not in this goat conversation because he did make a couple of good throws that hit people where they're supposed to be.
Important
at important moments.
That's true.
That was a 7-point game, third down. It's a first down.
Well, Ryan Grant's might have been a TD or he would have been down.
But,
like
they scored. They did subsequently score on that drive.
It's tough. It's almost this chicken and egg thing with Kirk or catch 22 or whatever you want to say because he didn't play well. The numbers don't look great. They lost. But maybe the numbers look serviceable because he played pretty well. You know what I mean?
Put it this way to me. It's not his fault that they lost, which, you know, you end up saying that a lot about Kirk. So, well, they lost, but it's not really his fault. But he didn't do what he needed to go and seize the day, grab the win.
Sometimes you need somebody who's going to step up and win a game by himself and paying Kirk the amount of money he is and in the position that he is and with the experience that he has, at some point you want him to step up and be that guy and take over a game and win it almost single-handedly. That wasn't tonight.
Yeah, that wasn't tonight and it wasn't last week. And boy, oh boy, the Seattle game. Maybe that's a topic for another podcast.
Right.
But when has that been? Because the games where he's been great have also been blowout wins. And maybe they're blowout wins because he's great, but you wonder if they don't go together. All right, we'll go speed round because I don't know that we've reached any conclusions on Kirk. Any other GOATs that we missed?
I'm going Nick Rose for GOAT. Not necessarily because of the blocked field goal, although he takes partial blame
came out,
for that.
The kick was way too low.
He takes partial blame for it, but the bigger one is missing the extra point when you're down by 13. They score with 3 minutes left, four minutes left. You have a chance to go down by six, which means a touchdown more or less wins the game for you. Misses the extra point, kills the momentum. Cowboys take up a bunch of time, takes it to the 1 minute mark. That's Nick Rose getting the GOAT.
Yeah, and I think we all knew, hey, they just signed some kid that's never kicked. This might not go well. Especially you look at Nick Rose's numbers from Texas. They weren't good. Now, I know college kicking is a different situation, and clearly this organization values kicking the ball out of the end zone almost more than anything else from their kicker. But I think that's fair. Taylor, you got any others?
No, not really. I mean, I think we pretty well covered it. It was just a total team loss.
I think that's well said. All right. It is time for over-unders. This is always fun. We got to go over everything here. Taylor, do you have the numbers? Do I need to dig up the numbers?
I wish you would have done that before.
Well, I have what our answers are. I just don't have the numbers. Oh, Mitch is coming.
Just real quick, while you're digging up those numbers, how good did that coffee taste last week, Taylor?
Oh, it was outstanding.
Well, if that's the way
really
we're going.
I got a little, you know how that Starbucks drink, you get a little power
surge.
Dude,
our producer, I've never seen.
I got a particular power surge out of that.
I don't remember what the hell his title is at this point, but Benji, who's one of the high up producers at CS or at NBC Sports Washington, I've never seen a dude more amped up on coffee than earlier this week. Do you remember that? What's he drinking? Super pressed coffee or something?
It's the new French press machine, big $30,000.
He was fired up, man.
he was jittery.
It looked like somebody out of Narcos.
He looked like Kramer.
Yeah, dude, it was. That's a good call, actually. So Benji, I think you listened. Hopefully you enjoyed that shout-out. All right, so over-unders, here we go. We set Kirk Cousins' passing yards at 280.5. We both went over. What was the final number, Taylor? All around.
263.
Yo, and if I recall, you expected Kirk to blow up this game. You were looking for 330, 350.
Yes.
Abs, say hello to everybody. Our sound engineer is here.
Hello, everybody.
Greg Abernathy, ladies and gentlemen. He really only came into this weird room we're in scavenging for food, I believe. No. All right, we're going to keep going because okay, Greg doesn't talk.
Got to power through.
All right, so we're both 0 for 1. The next over-under was Ezekiel Elliott rush yards. We set the total at 90.5. Tandler and I both went under for a big fat... Yeah. So Taylor and I are now 0 for 2.
A $1.50, I think he ended up with.
Yeah, 150 rush yards is good, right? Is that good?
That's good.
What was his YPC?
Well, 4.5. Isn't that, you know, I mean, that's okay.
Is 150 rush yards good, Mitch?
Yeah, it's okay.
He didn't bust any.
Is that a good day for Zeke, or is that just what Zeke is? That's average.
That's what he's been doing last few weeks. He's caught on.
I believe he buried me in fantasy to my buddy Jason, which is really going to piss me off. But that's a different conversation. All right, so Tandler and I are both 0-2. But wait, Redskin Talk fans, there's a third over under. The third over under was total running back carries for the Redskins. We set the total at 20.5. Tandler, how many running back carries were there?
Well, let's see. We've got 8 for Rob Kelly.
8.
Mm-hmm. And we have 4 for Chris Thompson.
I can do this math. 8 and 4 is 12.
Right.
That is less than 20.5. Mm-hmm. I guessed under. Tandler said over. That means...
Well, Tandler...
That means cheerwine time, baby.
Cheerwine on...
probably Wednesday, maybe Thursday. All right, so I won over unders. Unlike the Redskins, I have now moved one game above 500 for the year. Tandler, like the Redskins, is one game under 500 for the year. Anything to say for yourself?
I'm one game under 500.
Well, we're going to Seattle really next week, and that's a tough place to play, Tandler.
Lots of coffee for Tandler in Seattle, though.
Oh, yes.
Are you going to go to, like, the original Starbucks?
Oh, heck yes.
Should we do, like, a top three Seattle things?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that too generic? Does it need to be more specific?
Too generic.
All right.
We've done the fish market for the NBC Sports family before, We've done the first Starbucks for the
NBC. No, I'm saying our top three rankings.
Oh.
Yes, we should.
Yeah, I think. All right, send me ideas for Seattle for next week's top three. I'll think of it. And Taylor is permanently blocked from top three rankings. You are, dude. Yours was terrible.
Top three grunge bands.
Taylor, can you name three grunge bands?
Nirvana, that's it.
You can't name one more?
No.
There's another really famous one.
Okay. Is Pearl Jam grunge?
Yeah. Or they were then, anyway. I don't know what the hell anything is now. Taylor, do you own any flannel?
Yes.
But, like, Taylor has it from before grunge made it cool.
Oh, I'm wearing flannel in Seattle. You better believe it.
Do you eat sushi, Taylor?
No.
What a hater. What? Dude, he hates Halloween, let alone sushi.
Are we bringing up Halloween again?
I can't get over it.
You know what my favorite day of the year is? It's November 1st, because you can't possibly be further away from another Halloween.
And candy is super cheap, because everybody tried to sell it by Halloween.
That's what makes it a great day.
Although, the best candy buying day is February 15th.
Yeah.
Peak Halloween season is October 1 to February 14. Just peak candy season. I'm a candy head. I know what I'm talking about here.
Candy ass.
Whoa, RT. It's not even a Taylor's Got Jokes episode. Oh, he's losing it. Taylor's losing it. He's going to the giggles. All okay. Right.
It's like three beer Taylor.
I know, dude. Three IPAs Taylor giggling away. All right, we got to wrap. Clearly this thing has gone too long. Folks, I saw a ton of reviews. You are awesome. The challenge is still out there to get to 100 by Thanksgiving, but we are kicking butt with the reviews. I really appreciate it.
If we get to 100 by Thanksgiving, Taylor will dress as a turkey for the Redskins game against the Giants.
Completely true, unless you're a lawyer, in which case this never happened. But if you're not a lawyer, Taylor agrees that he will dress like a turkey.
If by completely true you meant an abject lie, then yes.
No, well, the opposite, but something like that. Folks, as always, thank you very much for listening. Local Celeb, you want to take us out?
I'll let Taylor take us out.
Taylor, take us out.
For want of a nail.
Get the hell out of here. All right, folks, subscribe to the podcast. Review the podcast. Follow Taylor on Twitter at TaylorNBCS. Follow Mitch on Twitter at Mitch_Tischler. Follow me at JPFinleyNBCS. As always, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.